Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has spoken peace to our hearts, comfort to our spirits, that he has offered us forgiveness from our sins, cleansing from all those things that have stained us in any way, deliverance from any bondage, and set us free to walk with thee. We thank thee for it. And we pray thee, Father, as we now study thy word, that we may see the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in them. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen. In the Gospel according to Matthew, in the 20th chapter, the first 16 verses draw our attention to a parable that is very well known, but is generally considered a very puzzling parable. I think you would commonly recognize it if I was to name it the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And you will remember the story as it unfolds. We can read a little of it here, just enough to bring it to our minds. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. I'm reading in chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20. And then we find this set forth. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, said unto them, Go ye also in the vineyard, whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. By the way, the hour with the day would likely begin at 6 o'clock in the morning. The third hour would be like 9 o'clock in the morning. In the fifth verse we read, Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. The sixth hour would be at 12 noon. The ninth hour would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And about the 11th hour he went out. That would be 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, that had worked from 5 o'clock until quitting time at 6, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. They likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. This is the parable. And I'm sure that you have all had the same experience, a feeling of puzzle about this. How can that be, that these people would work different times and receive the same pay? And yet there's no doubt about the meaning of it. There is no question that this is the way the Lord told it. He put this parable together on purpose to show this truth. So we ask ourselves, what can this truth mean? So let me draw your attention to some things like this about it. Blessing from God. That would be the pay that he would offer these people. Blessing from God is promised as from God. And it's a gift. Now, I suppose one of the first things for us to keep in mind with reference to anything that comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ is that the benefits we receive from God through the Lord Jesus Christ are not wages. They are not earned by our effort. The whole basis of relationship with God is not on a basis of work for pay. It's not on a basis of profit and loss, of us doing something and earning it thereby. The whole relationship with God that the Lord Jesus Christ set forth is the relationship between Father and Son. The Father gives and the Son serves. The Son serves as he can, the Father gives as he will. And the relationship is one of receiving as a gift and serving as a joy and a pleasure. And you and I might very well say, well, people don't do that. Maybe they don't do that in the world, but God does it that way. Maybe you and I would be perfectly right in saying that you won't get the people of the world to do it in that way. I don't doubt that. But people who come to God will do it this way. The point is that this parable is so clear that we are actually to open our minds to a consideration of the principles involved. We are to understand this is the way in which it is. It's contrary to human ideas, I know, but it's true as set forth here. Not because it's right in the sense that it is right by comparison, but that it's right because it's right according to intention, according to what God has in mind. Because as you go through this parable, it becomes clear to you from the parable that it's in the mind of God and the will of God that there's no uniform course to follow. Each person is an individual before God. Now, in actual practice, that's true. And there are some people that are saved early in life, and some people are saved late in life. Some people spend a long lifetime in fellowship with the Lord. Some spend just a short time in fellowship with the Lord. And they have the same promise. They are to receive the eternal life from the Lord, from Almighty God. All that we receive from God is eternal life. We receive that when we believe. If we live 5 more years, we have eternal life. If we live 15 more years, we have eternal life. If we live 5 days, we have eternal life. It's a bit like when a young girl marries a man. Suppose a peasant girl was to marry a prince. The moment she's married, she's queen. So she lives for 3 years, she's queen. So she lives for 10 years, she's queen. So she lives for 30 years, she's still queen. She can't be any more queen than she is. And she was queen from the very first. Or take your children. You have a child in the home. When was born, that was your boy. How old is he now? 3 years old? He's your boy. Maybe you can remember when he was 5 years old, your boy. 10 years old, your boy. If he grows to be a young man 21 years old, your boy. If you should happen to live long enough to see him at 40 years of age, your boy. He was always your boy. He was your boy from the first to the last. The fact that he lived and that he served and that he worked, those things are incidental to the fact that he's your boy. Now, something like this apparently is being laid into our thinking in this parable. I repeat again, our relationship with God is not a matter of earning wages. Our relationship with God is a matter of receiving him, turning ourselves over to him and us receiving him, and it happens all at one time. The service we render is another business. Incidentally, comparison with others. Now, wouldn't you agree with me that when we start comparing ourselves with ourselves, it's a matter of pride? Don't we? If I compare myself with someone else and say, well, I've worked for 10 hours, he's only worked for 5, am I not thinking I ought to get more with a sense of pride? I ought to feel people ought to appreciate me more. I work twice as long. That kind of thing. Because, you see, that means then that my whole relationship is just purely, shall I say, that of a hired servant, a mercenary. I'm doing it for money. I'm doing what I get out of it. So my relationship with this person is entirely on the basis of what I get out of it. So I want so much an hour. And if I work 2 hours, twice as much. 4 hours, 4 times as much. 10 hours, 10 times as much. Because that's all. In other words, I don't really belong to this man. He doesn't own me and I don't own him. All I want is just exchange for my labor, that kind of thing. That's on a different basis. And when I am there seeking to gain benefits by my work, I compare myself with other people and I think I work more than this one, more than that one. Again, complaint about others. If I receive my wages and I see the other one receive his wages, and I think he didn't do as much for his wages as I did for mine, what's at the basis of that? Isn't it covetousness? Isn't it that I want as much as I can get and more than the other fellow, if at all possible? Whereas, what is the truth? The truth of the matter is, each receives the same. And you can say, well, how can that possibly work out spiritually? Well, let me give you an illustration of something in which each receives the same, yet they're not all the same size. Suppose you were to think in terms of filling glasses with water. And one glass is the size of a pint, another glass is the size of a quart, another glass is a jug is the size of a half gallon, another is the size of a gallon, and you fill them with water. In what sense can you pour the same amount of water in each one? If you fill them. If you fill the pint, that's all it'll hold. You fill the quart, that's all it'll hold. If you fill the half gallon, that's all it'll hold. And you fill the gallon, that's all it'll hold. Each one of them got full. Well, that's all. Each one got the same as the other. Now, by comparison, one's bigger than the other. But by experience, each one was full. Something like that happens with Christians. We don't do well to compare ourselves with ourselves. The better thing is for us to turn ourselves over to the Lord and receive from Him. And we will receive from Him everything He has to give us. We should receive this with thanks. Anything that He will give us, let us remember, it is the grace of God, and He gives it to us with thanks. And so anything we can do with Him, for Him we will do with joy. And so far as comparing ourselves with others, that's not wise. Neither do we compare what we receive, nor do we compare what we do. It's not good for a man serving the Lord to look over at his neighbor and say, he isn't doing enough. Let me look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and do all I can. Our God and Heavenly Father, add Thy blessing to our hearts to make us willing to receive from Thee what Thou wilt give us and to give to Thee all we have. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.